Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the Ortho Joe Show, a joint production of the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery and Ortho Evidence. In our world, orthopedic research is king, and current topics from our respective publications are analyzed weekly. Here is Mohit Bhandari from Ortho Evidence and Mark Swinkowski from the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery.
Well, good morning, Mo.
Morning.
It's early here in Minnesota. We had a great episode yesterday. We were talking about attire, and because I'm a fossil, I'm back in my JBJS tie, a creature of habit and lack of ability to evolve intellectually. So, and I see you're in your comfortable shirt.
Nice shirt, just button down collared shirt, no tie. But there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's nothing wrong with wearing a tie.
I had my horizons expanded and learned that the code for presenting oneself professionally is ever evolving, but we do need to be aware of it. So for those of you who haven't listened to that episode, check it out. I think you'll find it interesting, to say the least. So I also have, of course, and I know you're traveling, so I really needed my cup of Joe this morning, having done a Peloton ride at about 9:30 at night.
Oh,
and I got beat up by Allie Love, for those Peloton riders out in the audience. She really whacked me. So we're going to talk about what caught our eye in the most recent publications, or fairly recent publications, in OE and JBJS. And I'm going to go first, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
So the one I selected is the lead article in the July 20th edition. And it's the effect of supplemental perioperative oxygen on surgical site infection among adults with lower extremity fractures. And let me start out with a full disclosure. This is from the Metric Consortium, which has been in place for well over a decade, a wonderful international group involving military treatment facilities and trauma centers in the U.S., and I believe in North America. And I chair the Data Safety Monitoring Board for the Metric Consortium. So I am aware of some of the details of this particular randomized controlled trial. But because I have that conflict, I did not manage this through the peer review process. Someone else in the editorial board. Nevertheless, I thought that I wanted to talk with you about it, because This, I mean, you and I are always advocates of large, simple trials. This is a large trial that ain't simple, right? Because the two treatment groups were 80% FiO2, and this is patients who had tibial plateaus, calcaneus fractures, tibial pilon fractures between the age of 18 and 80 years, 1,231 patients. And as is very common with the metric group, because of their high quality, they followed 94% through the 180 or 6 months follow-up to determine surgical site infection. And this whole question got started, I believe, from the general surgery literature, which had identified that higher FiO2 resulted in a lower surgical site infection group for abdominal surgery, and maybe might be thoracic surgery too. But anyway, a very difficult trial to do, because you're involving practitioners outside of your group of interested investigators, meaning the anesthesiologists and the CRNAs who are managing these patients. And I just laud this group for being able to work through their participating centers and provide constant feedback about the ability to document what was actually being administered to the patients, because you know, this is not standard of care. you're trying to do an intervention which requires a different practice, and the degree of difficulty very, very high for a study like this. But let me just briefly summarize the findings. Surgical site infection occurred in 7% of the patients at the high FiO2 group, and in 10.7% of the patients in the control group, with a confidence interval of 0.5 to 0.96 and risk reduction of minus 3.8. And that was in the early follow-up, and then in the later follow-up, similar effect at 90 days. So they did find that this higher FiO2 resulted in a lower infection rate for these surgeries, primarily, all closed fractures. But the effect was not super high. There is an effect, statistically significant, but not super high. So they conclude that the findings support the use of this intervention. But should we be trying to do these kind of trials that require changing practice? What is your general thoughts with your decades of experience in running trials?
Yeah, well, first of all, Mark, I would say that I fully agree. The Metro Group is a long-standing consortium of committed investigators, and agree, fully supportive of the work they're doing. What makes this particular study, particularly interesting and helpful is it's large, right? And Salim Yusuf back in the day and Richard Pito said a large, simple trial is usually a trial over 1,000 patients. And why do we care so much about some number? 1,000 is because when you get 500 patients in an arm, you're probably approaching a better balance than our typical randomized trials of, let's say, 80 or 90 patients, where you don't think the patients would be balanced across all the things. So we can probably make an assertion that patients were probably pretty balanced and that the effect that we're seeing is probably a real effect. And a 30% or so, reduction in risk of getting an infection is pretty impressive to me. Like, that's an impressive number, because not too many things get you that. What makes this even more impressive, to your point, and not to reiterate everything you've just said, but in short, big solutions are going to come from interdisciplinary interactions. The truth is no one subspecialty is sufficiently siloed that the care of patients, especially of complex programs, doesn't require other interventions. And you and I have been saying this for hip fractures. Evolution in open fracture care may come from perioperative care. Evolution in hip fracture care may come from perioperative care. So this is just another great example of doing that. From that perspective, it's great. Some are going to argue, efficacy versus pragmatism. And pragmatism is you've kind of got to do things that can be applied in day-to-day practice. So you would say that, a pragmatic trial from the get-go, meaning, just use everyday practice and see if something is better than the other, is a much easier to jump and make that leap. But I can tell you, if you show something like this that actually has benefit, and you can show a demonstrable benefit in a well-controlled, valid trial, it behooves all of us to say, okay, how do we now make this a standard within our centers? Right. And I suspect the key here is going to be that the knowledge gap is going to be how quickly this gets into guidelines for open fracture care. And part of that's going to be, our own, community saying, okay, this study has to be highlighted in some of these guidelines. And that question around, perioperative use of oxygen needs to be also brought in.
Right. If I could ask you to expand a little bit, Bo, on the philosophical question of when is it worth the effort to do a trial that requires involving other specialties to change practice? The extra effort involved. When should we do that?
I guess it always goes back to, the simple and maybe trite answer is it always matters. You should always think about it, right? Very few questions we have are truly isolated to one subspecialty silo. I mean, it happens, right? If you have an implant A versus B, but the outcomes may require, let's say, a respiratory therapist if you're looking at oxygen. It may require medicine. So we tend not to do that. We tend to stay within our quote comfort zone. So I would say that the big questions that we're going to be asking are invariably going to be questions that matter to more than just our subspecialty. So the extent to which the question drives the overall plan. This particular question, by saying, you know, does the use of a perioperative tool or an innovation or whatever you want to call it in this particular case lead to a better outcome? The question itself absolutely was the starting point for, okay, we're going to have to build a strong collaborative to pull this off, because this will not get done without that. So I think it begins with the idea and the question. And the questions we should, I think, be thinking broader and simpler than we have before.
Right. But if I hear you right, you're forecasting that increasingly we're going to be involving other specialties in trialing interventions that are going to change really important outcomes for patients and surgeons.
Yes. If we if we truly want to make, and I mean, again, people may debate this, listeners may say that that's not, you don't agree, but bigger impact is going to come from more groups getting engaged in the same problem. Complex problems rarely get solved in silos. So to your point, I think we have to be striving to do more of this type of work.
Yeah. Well, that's very helpful, I think, for our audience who are considering participating or leading trials like this. And I would just like to commend again the Metric Consortium with my conflict that I've been involved with the DSMB. But boy, the output of this consortium in terms of changing practice has just been fantastic. And to Bob O'Toole, who led this particular trial, congratulations, Bob. So what do you got from OE's perspective?
Yeah, you know, so staying on the oxygen theme, you know, I'm going to talk about ozone and a paper that
ozone.
Came out.
So now, with both of these, we're in rarefied air.
Rarefied air, yeah. And we're going to get quite radical with ozone, pardon the pun here. But let me just, for those who are a little uninformed about ozone, and I've learned a little bit about it in preparation, but ozone therapy. Oh,
sorry, but isn't it what keeps you from selling your house sometimes?
That's true. But they say ozone therapy can induce several biological responses, such as it activates neuroprotective systems, it improves blood circulation, and oxygen delivery. In ischemic tissue, it also enhances general metabolism by improving oxygen delivery, upregulates cellular antioxidants, and induces a mild activation of the immune system to enhance the release of growth factors. It just sounds like it's a miracle treatment. Why are we not using it more, Mark? But anyways, let me get to the OE original, which is original content from our group, which we did our own meta-analysis. And the title of this meta-analysis was Intra-Articular Injection of Medical Ozone versus Trident staple, I guess you could say, a hyaluronic acid in the treatment for knee osteoarthritis. And this was a systematic review of randomized controlled trials. So again, for those listening, there's actually randomized controlled trials looking at this very specific problem. So five RCTs were published between roughly in and after around 2016, 555 patients or so. And these were patients diagnosed with knee OA of mild to moderate severity. So what do you think? What do you think of Mark? But I don't think you've read this particular review. If you were to, based on that description of ozone, and HA, which is again, you can, for those again listening, you can argue, but high molecular weight HA, let's say, what do you think? How do you think ozone's going to fare? Worse, same, better?
Well, yeah, you're right. I hadn't read this particular OE original, but you know it. From the description of the intervention, it would certainly be plausible that it could be better than hyaluronic acid.
Right. And that's what we kind of found. We kind of found like there's this, you know, some trials, like on some outcomes, you look at a bunch of outcomes, you know, WOMAC and a bunch on a few of them, it definitely showed that ozone seemed to be better. And on others, it showed there was no difference. But the truth of the matter is, remember, we're comparing it not to a placebo, but an active comparator. So at the minimum, you would say that at least it seems to have an effect that would be consistent with other biologically active intra-articular therapies. But as you can imagine, different from the study we just talked about, the total of five randomized trials led to 500 patients or so. So each individual study was about 100 or so patients. So that is where we get into the trouble, right? So taking small studies and trying to pool them, you're not going to necessarily get the robustness. So answer is unclear, but the the fact that people are researching this area suggests we should continue this, you know, and evolving in this area, because there certainly seems to be a reasonable biological mechanism for why ozone could have some benefit for like sort of an anti-inflammatory effect as well. So while we haven't got the answer, I think it was important for us to publish this negative systematic review, if only to encourage others to think maybe bigger, and also think about how we can engage more investigators in this area.
Yeah, that's really the role of journals in many instances, is to publish something that stimulates a group to do a definitive study. That's certainly a role that we find is important at JBJS. But going back to our earlier discussion, you know, here's a single specialty intervention, but I can't imagine the issues with injecting a gas in the clinic and, you know, changing practice and environment, et cetera. And obviously it would be hard to blind patients. I can't imagine how you could blind the patient or the administrator here.
Right. So you raise all the issues of doing a study like this. So as much as it seems, oh, well, simply just to inject, you know, medical grade ozone, you know, oxygen, you know, ozone mixture into a joint and you see what happens, it's very, very different. Now, is it possible? Sure, you could possibly blind. You'd have to put a lot of effort in. You'd have to make sure the patient really doesn't know, you know, by blinding them and the investigators around. The individual in theory will not be blind, right? The physician injecting will not be, it'd be hard to blind that individual given the fact that you're talking about two very different substances. But again, that's the limitation.
Just injecting a gas versus a liquid, I think the patient would be able to
totally tell.
Figure that out. That's going to be difficult. Maybe, well, possibly here, this would be one of the unusual instances where a placebo control, so injecting room air, would be the appropriate control here. Maybe a little harder to enroll patients for placebo as it always is, but
absolutely
probably the way to go with this one.
And there's always that limited fear that somehow you miss and you get into, you know, intravenous, somehow something happens, right? It wouldn't be there. But then the risk of embolism, you know, getting into, you know, either you know, a vein particularly or an artery, would be a bit of a risk, right? So people have to be very careful. The knee is pretty safe in that regard. But that being said, you can never say never, right? And so there is some of that risk associated with these sorts of treatments.
And always impacts patient enrollment and informed consent and et cetera, et cetera. Trials are really, really, really difficult, as you and I know very well. And it's way easier to just go to the OR and take care of a patient than it is to participate in these. So,
absolutely. And you know, it's always, I should say it's funny per se, but you know, when you haven't seen a trial done in an obvious area, ask yourself, when you say, why hasn't someone actually studied this? It's like we have so many, like, for example, you know, we talk about knee arthroplasty and infection, you know, we say, what? This is like, we see so many patients, we could easily get it done. In theory, you're right. We should be able to do it, but it's very, very hard, right? To do studies of thousands and thousands of patients. And so I think we have to always, while our journal clubs sometimes, Mark, become the you know, ivory towers of cynicism around, parsing out a randomized trial of 1,000 patients and all the things they did do, maybe we should flip it and first congratulate and applaud anyone who's tried it and say, listen, this is amazing. How can we learn from this, you know?
Yeah, it's, again, returning to my illustration of just go to the OR is way easier and more rewarding. So when you take care of a patient, you do an intervention, you know, you and the patient might have to wait 6 weeks, 3 months to find out the result. But in some of these instances, we've waited 7 years to find out the answer. And
it's a long haul. It's a long haul. Take a picture of yourself when you start a trial and take a picture when you finish a trial.
Yeah, I used to have color in my hair.
I used to have hair. Forget the color. I would love to go back. I see young pictures of myself when I started trials with this, you know, just quaff. And I just look back and say every lost hair is a phone call, an email, a something that happened in that trial. So it's all good. But it's worth doing it, right? We keep going back.
Balding by trial leadership.
Yeah, hair loss. Yeah, just stop doing trials. Just stop doing trials and your hair grows back. It's all good.
All right. Well, I hope you have safe travels back to Hamilton. I know you're away, and thanks for joining in. And for me, I got to finish this before I can get into my day. So
I'm going to run for a coffee right now myself.
Okay. All right. Take care, Mo.
Take care.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.